Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
I enjoyed last week. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed last week, all the quizzes and things like that. So I think we'll have another quiz this week, right side against left. Do you feel well outnumbered? No, we're not really going to have a quiz, but sorry. Excellent. Right. Here we go. So, how do you follow on from last week? What can you do? So, Star Wars last week. So, title for this week is The Empire Strikes Back. Actually, it's not. It's not. I know. I'm letting you down. But what is it? You want to know what it is? Yeah. Angus. Do you love me?
Yes, I do, Steve.
Thank you very much. Right. That's the title, Do You Love Me? And it's a question that Jesus asked to a fella called Simon Peter. So we're going to have a study of that. We're going to look into that. So our first scripture, we're going to go to... Oh, Angus, I didn't send you the scriptures through this week, did I? What a letdown. Anyway, we're in John 1, verse 42. And if you want to stay in John and turn to John chapter 21, verse 15 to 20, that's going to be our main bulk of scriptures, if you like. Right. So, John 1, verse 42. Then he... That he being Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, took Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. Some versions say Jonah. I don't know why, they just do. But you are Simon, son of John. From now on, you will be called Peter, a rock. Now, for you Bible scholars, and anybody can tell me, what does the word Simon mean? Reed. Simon means reed. Okay, so R-E-E-D, a reed. Yes, Simon means reed. All right, so Jesus was in the business of changing him from a weedy reed into rocky, okay? So that's what he was about. Jesus, he called him both. So sometimes he would call him Simon. Sometimes he would call him Peter, and this is the way I like to think about it, that he spoke to the weak man to make him strong. And when he was speaking to the Peter, he was affirming him that he's being strong in God. So here we are. We're going to turn now to John 21, which I'm going to use the truth version, because Pastor Colin puts it very well. Okay. So, a little bit of a backstory here. This is after the resurrection. Peter has denied that he known Jesus three times. And I think he's pretty much a broken man, really. You know? Jesus had told them to get down to Galilee. Want you to get to Galilee. So they got to Galilee. They'd been fishing. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus turned up. Fellas, throw the net on the other side of the boat. You're going to get yourself a really big catch. And they did that, got the big catch. And they thought, a bit of deja vu going on here, because he's already done this once before. And John realizes who it is. It's the Lord. Peter dives in the water. Like you do, you know, he put his robe on, dived in the water, swam to the shore. I don't know why he did that. But anyway, swam to the shore, and he's having a chat with Jesus. This is after they've had a fish breakfast. That sounds a bit more like it, doesn't it, lads? You know, the ladies can get their nails pampered if you like, but a fish breakfast sounds a bit more like it to me. No, yeah, sounds good. Well, maybe we should get our nails pampered. I don't know. Nah, okay, let's stick with a fish breakfast. Let's fish with a steak breakfast. Right, on with the scriptures. Yes, very good idea. When they had eaten, oh, I just like that, I'm going to read that again. When they had eaten, Jesus addressed Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me with God's love? Do you love me more than all these fish you have just caught? Lord, you know that I love you with my human love, he answered. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Then Jesus asked him again, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me with God's love? Peter answered, Lord, you know that I love you with my human love. Look after my sheep, Jesus said to him. Then Jesus asked a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with your human love? It hurt Peter that Jesus would question his love three times. So he replied, Lord, you know everything. You must know that I do really love you with my human love. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went wherever you chose to go. But I tell you truly, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, someone else will dress you and then take you where you would never choose to go. By saying this, Jesus was indicating the kind of death Peter would have to endure for God's glory. Then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Fantastic bit of scripture, full of good stuff for us Christians. Okay, do you love me more than these? What a question. And I think the question echoes through eternity to every Christian that lives on the planet. Do we love him more than these? So what does Jesus mean when he says these? And in the context of the passage we've just read, it's the fish and the fishing nets. And what did that represent for Peter? A truth version spells it out very well. It was his career, his livelihood. Maybe it was his identity, his security, his source of income. And Jesus was asking him, do you love me more than these? Because Jesus had called him away from that to be a founding father of the church. And what he was saying to him is, do not build your life on what you think you can do and what you think you can control. Okay, I want to be the number one in your life. Don't make work your idol. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. You know, we can do that if we are not careful. Is work good? Yes, we know that, you know. But, you know, we don't live to work. We just work to live. Yeah? And we got to make sure that God or Jesus is number one. See, we're not called to keep up with the Joneses, whoever they are. Okay, we're called to take and to build treasure in heaven. Store up treasure in heaven. That was God's command to us. Okay, so we need to be making sure that we're doing that. Make sure that we've still got time. Make sure we've still got energy to spend on the kingdom of God. What else could these things represent? Well, I guess it's anything that we would put in front of Jesus. For us, it could be what? Family? You know, do we put family in front of Jesus? Good question. It's good to love your family. And I believe that once you come to Christ, it's going to make you a better father, a better mother, a better brother, a better sister, you know, however you want to call it. You know, if you give your life to Jesus, he is going to just make you more able to love. He's going to give you the ability to be that better parent or even that better child, that better brother, sister, sibling, etc. Okay, what about relationships? Do we put relationships, even wrong ones, before God, before Jesus? You know, it's a question that we need to ask. And if we do, what does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to put him first. You know, do you love me more than these? And if your answer is, well, no, really, I prefer what I'm into, you know, then Jesus is asking that question of you this morning. You know, I want you to love me first. I want you to put me first. It's not a selfish thing for Jesus to ask, is it? Because of what he has done for us. Okay, and he knows that if we love him more than anything else that we've got going on in our life, then he can trust us. You know, that was the question that went out to Peter. Do you love me more than these? And he was saying, yes, Lord, you know what I do. And he says, well, in that case, you can feed my lambs. In that case, you can feed my sheep. Because it's love that's got to be the main motivation. Our love for God will be expressed in service for God. Keep your love priority, Jesus, and the rest is going to sort itself out. You know, this was an individual case for Peter. It's not for everybody. But sometimes Jesus calls people out of work. We was hearing a bit of that last week, weren't we, with Charlene. She was saying she was able to, her job got taken away from her, basically, because she was made redundant. She felt as though God was saying to her, come and work, work for the church, do it on a full-time basis. That brings up lots of questions, doesn't it? Okay, that's great. How am I going to live? How am I going to pay the rent, you know? How am I going to pay for the food and things like that? But we heard that testimony, didn't we? That they're now, both of them, they're debt-free. And we found out this morning they are in Turkey. I think I might give my job up and I'm going to get on the next plane and head out to Greece or somewhere like that. Okay. In short, whatever he calls you to do, he's going to cover it. He's going to cover it. I've experienced that in the past. Going to Bible college and doing some other teamworks years ago. God gives you the provision for the vision. It's a nice soundbite, isn't it? But it is very true. So what I want us to do is to step back a few days in Peter's story. And it's the day before Good Friday. And if you want to turn to Luke 22, verse 31 through to 34. And Jesus is having another conversation with Peter. And he's also addressing the rest of the disciples as well. Which this version brings out quite well. So it's he says it to Peter, but he's talking to everybody, which is kind of funny. But that's for Jesus to do. He can do what he wants. He's the Son of God. Right, verse 31 through to 34. Here we go. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have all of you to sift you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. The rooster will not crow tomorrow morning until you have denied me three times that you even know me. Ouch. Ouch. How is that? Could you fancy having a prophetic word like that from Jesus? Youchy. Deary me. So there he was. He was addressing this time the reed man, Simon. You know, he knew that Simon was just a man. He was flesh. He was addressing this man who was weak. Yeah, he was kind of up for it, or he thought he was. Nah, no way. I'm not going to deny you. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die. Doesn't matter what's coming my way. I'm with you, Jesus, all the way. But we know that he spectacularly failed in a big way. Let's be honest. He totally bottled it, didn't he? Thought he was ready to die, but in the end, we find out that he was scared of a girlie, and he denied Jesus through fear. Okay, so there he is. He's walking on the beach. He knows he's blown it. He's a broken man. Have you ever blown it in a big time way? Ooh, what a question. Or maybe even a little time way. Have you ever messed up so bad? Then if you have, you're in illustrious company. Illustrious company. God thankfully knows that we are just but flesh. Let's do that again. Good thought. Right. Okay. Jesus didn't leave him that way. And here's the good news. He won't leave you that way either. Jesus was bruised so we don't have to be. He was broken so that we could be mended. We can leave all of our failure and we can nail it to the cross. It's very clear in the scriptures. The trouble is the devil, he likes to come and remind us of our failures. He likes to remind us of our weaknesses. What we've got to do is make sure that we silence him. Okay, let's turn to an Old Testament scripture, Micah chapter 7, verse 18 through to 20. And reading through this, thinking to myself, hey, this is very New Testament. You know, this is the God of all the ages, the God of eternity. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there's no difference between the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's a loving God then, he was a merciful God then, and he is now. So, where is another God like you who pardons the sins of the survivors amongst his people? You cannot stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing mercy. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love as you promised with an oath to our ancestor Abraham and to Jacob long ago. I especially love that part of the verse where it says, because you delight in showing mercy. He enjoys it. God enjoys showing mercy. It makes him smile. Anybody here ever needed God's mercy? Lots and lots. You know, that's why God enjoys being God. He's got plenty of time to be merciful to us, you know. He delights in being merciful to us. Fantastic. He doesn't trample us, but he tramples our sins. Fantastic. He turns the table on sin. Sin can have a trampling effect on us. You know, it makes us feel bad. It makes us feel dirty. It makes us feel condemned. And the devil, he likes to use it as a slave driver, to whip us with it. He accuses us. He reminds us of our failures and the things that we've done in the past. You blew it before, you're going to blow it again, things like that. But the truth is, once we confess our sin, it does not exist. All the devil is doing is peddling lies, okay? Yeah. Failure, be it moral or otherwise, cannot finish you. Just have a look at Peter. Yeah. It can't finish you. If it's given to God, then he's delighted in trampling it and throwing it into the ocean depths. Okay, he breaks the slave trader sin and we walk free. Okay, anybody who tries to find your failure, they're going to be crushed by the water pressure. You go down to the bottom of the ocean. Did you know submarines cannot go to the bottom of the ocean? Because they will be crushed by the amount of water pressure that there is. You ever see the submarine films and they're kind of like, we're losing depth, we're sinking. You can hear the submarine creaking away and it's like it's going to get totally crushed by the water pressure there. Can you imagine that God, you know, he's got our sins, he's crushed them to pieces, he's thrown them down to the bottom of the ocean. If anybody thinks that they're going to go down there and fish them back up again, they're going to find out they're in big trouble. You know, they're going to be dead before they get there. You just can't go and find them. God has dealt with them. He's thrown them into the bottom of the ocean. Okay, so my question is, why do we stoop under something that isn't there? You know, you're going to look funny walking around like this, aren't you? But you think you've got a load on your back. Well, God has actually got rid of it. People are going to look at you funny. They're going to say, what are you walking around like that for? You know, they say, well, I've got this load on my back. You know, and God looks at us and says, no, you haven't. I've got rid of it. I've thrown it into the depths of the sea. Who the sun sets free is... free indeed. Okay, I'm dead. Illustration time. I'm going to need a volunteer. This is very Wednesday night-ish, this. James has been volunteered. Okay, James, I know in your past you've been a little bit of a vandal, so you might enjoy this. Right, so here is a light bulb. Okay, now... could you place it, Alf and Safety, everybody? Could you place it in the Jiffy bag for me, please? And then seal the Jiffy bag, the said Jiffy bag. That's very good. All right, now, if you could just place it on the floor, please. All right, now I'd like you to jump upon the said bag, please. Yay! Go on, just give it a couple more stamps. Go on. You know, that's pretty good. Thank you, James. Could we get a round of applause for James, please? Okay, I think it's pretty safe to say that light bulb is no more. James, if you could pay £3 to Keith, please. Keith, I just want you to be reassured this was not a very energy efficient light bulb, okay? It wasn't an LED one or anything like that. It was tungsten halogen, so we're probably better off without it. If you could just see James afterwards and you can sort it all out, that's great. But what was the point of all that? Okay, well, is that light bulb ever going to work again? It is totally and absolutely ineffective. It has no purpose. Okay, so when the devil comes along and tries to remind you of your sin, what we've got to do is to remind him that God has trampled it and he has thrown it into the depths of the sea, that we have got forgiveness from God and he has dealt with it. And then we remind the devil, I'm forgiven and you are not. Go away, in so many words. Okay, fantastic. It has been destroyed. It has been destroyed. Failure helped Peter with God's grace to get it right the next time, even unto his death. We read that in the passage, didn't we? Because Jesus showed him the kind of death that he was going to die to glorify God. So failure is not the end. All it is a step with God. You know, he can use it to make us more productive in the future, and he really did glorify God. Christian tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. Of course, Peter knew that it was only a gateway, a door to real life. I'm sure those guys who were crucifying must have looked at him and thought, yeah, we can see the way this guy isn't afraid to die, that there is something more beyond this life. You know, those martyrs who were being slaughtered at the beginning of Christianity, you know, they set such a fantastic foundation that the church has been built on. And it's just something that would have spoken to people, you know, and we can see that the whole of the Roman Empire eventually became Christianized, for want of a better word. Right, next part of the conversation, this is Peter's commission, the outworking of his love for Jesus. Anybody who loves Jesus gets a job to do. Yeah. Okay. What does Jesus want you to do for him? It's an ongoing question. When we're walking with Jesus, this conversation was happening whilst side with Jesus. And he will give you clarity via your pastors, sure, yeah. You know, you can clarify it via your pastors. But it's got to be from Jesus to you. So I'm going to do a little bit what we was doing kind of midweek. We were talking about people coming out. I tell you how the story of just myself and about being a church leader. Pastor Lynn asked me one day back then, said, oh, what do you think God is saying to you? He didn't give me any kind of hints or anything like that. I want you to go away and I want you to come back and tell me. No pressure there then. So went away, prayed, asked God, and I thought what he was saying to me was, I want you to be a leader under Pastor Shane. So reported back, and to my relief, she didn't say, you're having a laugh, are you? You know, who do you think you are, you know? But, you know, it doesn't take supermen, thankfully, to serve God. But, you know, when that call comes to you, when he speaks to you, you just got to do the thing that he wants you to do. And you only get that, you only find out what he wants you to do by walking with him, by talking with him, asking him, what is it you want me to do for you? And that's a continuous thing. He's always got something for each one of us to do. What does Jesus want you to do? Feed his lambs, tend the sheep. It's going to involve people. And to be sure, it's going to be bigger than you are. Okay, the thing that God wants you to do is going to be beyond you. But it's God's love inside you that's going to enable you to be able to do it. God's anointing, God's calling, God's enabling. You've got to do something for him. And that's the key. Do we love him? Okay. Do we prefer him to ourselves? Do we put him first? Because he has earned that first place. Yeah. He took our place on the cross. He took our sins on the cross. He has earned his place as number one in our lives. Only people who love him can be trusted to do the job. Otherwise, you're going to turn and run and go elsewhere. Okay, people that love Jesus, they're willing to face down ridicule, rejection, misunderstanding, pressure, accusation, lies, threats, and in Peter's case, even death, because the love of Christ is the thing that compels them. Love is a given thing, isn't it? Selfishness, it takes. Selfishness sits on its bum and says, serve me. But love is something that gives. See, I know Sharon loves me because she makes me dinner. Isn't that nice? She washes my clothes. She puts up with my funny behavior. She covers me in prayer. And before it's 9 o'clock, I'm you know, it's before the watershed, so I'm not going to say anything else that she does for me, okay? All right. Love is a motivator. And I get told off when I get home. Maybe sooner, maybe. Right, what does Jesus want you to do? Be sure it's going to involve people, okay, by blessing and by serving them. Okay, bearing in mind, things change. So we've got to keep on walking, we've got to keep on talking with Jesus so that we can keep on hearing what his word to us is today. All right, by his spirit, by his word, he will speak to us. Even now, even today, God can speak to us. And we express God's love by giving to God and to others. There's a funny thing about this conversation. If we have a look at it, we can see that this conversation actually hurt Peter. Yeah, what a thing. You know, sometimes the way that Jesus leads and speaks to us can hurt. But it's always going to hurt good. Why was he hurt? I guess we don't truly know because we don't know Peter's heart. But maybe, you know, he didn't know or couldn't figure out why Jesus would say what he has said to us. Maybe that only came later. You know, he'd figure it out later what it is or why it is that Jesus had said what he said. Has anybody ever been there? You know, God's leading, you think to yourself, oh, I'm not sure I like that. That hurts, you know. But you can look back and you can see, yeah, I know why that happened now. I'm glad that happened. Know that if he has or if it happens to you, it comes from a place of love. You know, when Jesus speaks to us and perhaps we're not going to like what he says, it's always working for our good to take us forward. Yeah. Despite the hurt, hey, let's feed his lambs, let's feed his sheep. It's what he asks of those who love him. Okay, that's pretty much the main body of the message done. But what I want us to do is to get into an atmosphere of love, you know, where we're loving Jesus. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. We're going to get in that atmosphere of worship, which is love for Jesus. And what I want us to do is to have a talk with Jesus. You know, that's what we're part of what we're doing this morning is we're walking with Jesus. And so what I want us to do is to get up on our feet. And I think it's going to be useful for us to just kind of close our eyes. And I want us to do some business with Jesus this morning. If it helps you, you can imagine yourself walking along the beach with Jesus. Up on your feet then, guys. You can imagine yourself walking along the beach with Jesus, chatting with him. And yeah, we're just going to pray together. And I want to encourage you to actually talk with Jesus as we're going along.